When you're juggling everyday life, carrying your faith isn't always easy. Introducing Journa, Premier's new devotional journaling app, created in partnership with World Vision. Each day, Journa gives you a Bible verse, a short reflection, a question to sit with, a written prayer, and space for your thoughts, all in one place, wherever you go. Find Journa in your App Store today, available on iOS and Android. Journa, an app to help you stay connected.
Lucas on Life.
Hello and welcome to Lucas on Life. I'm Jeff Lucas. You're listening to Premier Christian Radio. It's that time of the year when the question is often asked of us, have we made any New Year's resolutions? Usually at the end of a year, we bid a glad farewell to the previous 12 months and we look hopefully towards a better season when the sky will be bluer, when we will be more prosperous, healthier, experience greater joy, and hopefully for the follower of Jesus, a major New Year's resolution would be to live closer in our walk with him and influence our world positively for his kingdom. So tonight, and then again next week, I'd like to think about some resolutions that we might embrace as our own. Now, perhaps you're thinking, well, have you not noticed, Jeff, the new year has actually passed by now, so isn't it a bit late to be talking about this? But isn't that exactly the problem? We talk about New Year's resolutions until the clock strikes midnight and the fireworks explode in the sky, but then all too often, within a few days, we forget all about the decisions that we've made. So let's talk about how we'd like to be in 2026. We're thinking about New Year's resolutions. And the first one that I've been thinking about is I'd like to be more committed to enjoy the ordinary days. They're called notifications, the mingled blessing and curse of our internet-governed lives. My watch or phone dutifully informs me that I have an appointment with an armed and dangerous dentist tomorrow, or my plane is running late, rain is expected in 32 minutes, or my heart rate is running a little high, probably because of that delayed plane. I'm informed of breaking news, stock market fluctuations, and nudged by a reminder to pick up some milk at the supermarket. Notifications can even prevent future mishaps and tragedies. Later model cars not only beep us when we're wandering out of our lane, but automatically steer us back into safety and even tell us off if we're not paying attention to the road. Unfortunately, there are no notifications available to advise us that we're living in a beautiful moment, which is really rather frustrating. Days of sheer bliss, when the sky is blue, the sun warms but doesn't burn, and rich, easy laughter is shared with friends, these absolutely fabulous episodes are rare and should be enjoyed to the full. Some while ago, Kay and I joined a gaggle of dear friends for a few wonderfully poignant days in France. We'd all gathered to be with our host, a really close pal who'd been given a terminal diagnosis. But there was nothing morose about our time. We munched on almond croissants, apparently baked in heaven. We sipped rosé wine and drank coffee in the same cobbled square every morning. And we laughed hysterically at stories shared late into the night. One evening, I glanced across the room at our friend and wondered at the sight of his huge smile because despite that gloomy diagnosis and the discomfort of his illness, he was completely determined to soak up the gravy of this precious time. As was I, except for those pesky notifications. Technology means that unless we take that almost unthinkable step of turning our phones off, we're at the mercy of relentless intrusion. There's a price to be paid for being continuously available. The cost is that we become unavailable to what is right in front of us right now. In France, I had no idea that I was living in one of the best days of my life, one that I wish I could return to. Something similar occurs because of the rather fabulous cameras that are secreted into our phones. Watching a breathtaking sunset in Colorado, we marveled at God's genius with a color palette. Ribbons of rich burnt orange entwined with fluorescent reds, trailed across the fading blues of the twilight sky. But glancing around, we notice others who were so wrapped on capturing the perfect photo of the moment that they really missed the moment itself as they squinted at the skyborne masterpiece through their phones. And you know, sometimes the sheer speed of life hurries us on, roughly shoves us forward, when we should be stopping to look, to marvel, to worship. Annie Dillard offers a beautiful challenge when she said, "We are here to witness the creation and abet it. We are here to notice each thing so that each thing gets noticed. Together we notice not only each mountain shadow and each stone on the beach, but especially we notice the beautiful faces and complex natures of each other. Otherwise, creation would be playing to an empty house." I love those words, and I'm so challenged by them. Perhaps in the midst of another ordinary day that might well be filed under the heading of "nothing much happened," there are people who will inspire or nudge us into a giggle. There's music to soothe or quicken our hearts. There are unmissable moments that we might just miss if we're not careful. And so one of my resolutions this year is to enjoy every day, ordinary, special. I want to take my seat when God is putting on a show and pay attention to the road that I'm on. How about you? We have been notified. In thinking about resolutions for 2026, another one of mine is to become an angel. I think I need to explain. The day was a tad unusual because I'd bumped into an angel, and for me at least, this is not an everyday experience. Over the years, as a follower of Jesus, I've heard many reports of angelic encounters. Many of them involved winged warriors helpfully appearing to Christians whose cars had broken down, causing me to wonder if the messengers of God have an uncanny affection for the M1. I don't know the name of the angel that I saw because there was no personal introduction, but I doubt if his name is Gabriel. It doesn't look much like a Gabriel, more like a Fred or a Dave, maybe a Ron. I know the angel Ron doesn't have the right ring about it, and his appearance was a surprise, and not because his hands were a vivid fluorescent blue. No wings were in sight. It was his beer belly that caught my attention. Now, when angels meet human beings, there's usually a rather predictable result. The messenger of the Lord appears, usually suddenly, which then prompts the hapless human being to scream in terror, fall on the ground, and anticipate death. The angel then calms things down, offers some warm words of greeting and assurance, and then delivers some good news. Well, my encounter took place in a busy hospital ward, the cardiac intensive care unit, filled with beeping monitors and hurried staff, was rather short on peace. And then, after sitting at a bedside for 7 hours, we were treated by the arrival of the aforementioned angel. His hands were blue because of the rubber gloves he wore. His job is rather ordinary. There are no Christmassy nativity announcements or choir appearances to bleary-eyed shepherds on his CV. Every day, he tours the 700-bed hospital and empties the patient's rubbish bins. But while that's what he gets paid for, he has broadened his job description. "Knock, knock," he smiled as he entered our patient bay, and then he launched into a few minutes of warm, caring chatter. I soon realized that this was his modus operandi. I asked him if he enjoyed his work, and he smiled again. He said, "If all I did was collect rubbish, then I wouldn't have lasted long here. But the gloves and the bins, they're just tools." He said, "My real work is bringing a smile, sharing a joke, hopefully lightening the load for people. If I go home at the end of the day and I've made a difference in someone's life, then I feel I've fulfilled my purpose." He then went on to explain that that day, a patient had told him how much she looked forward to his daily drop-ins. Suffering from a terminal condition, she told him that her family would come by to visit, but mostly would just sit in morose silence, unable to think of the right thing to say. "You always make me smile, every time," she said. Angels are usually associated with the epic, and sometimes we humans wrongly think that serving God is largely about involvement in big projects, nation-shaping initiatives, macro stuff. But Jesus makes it clear that it's small acts of kindness that not only change the world, but grab his attention. Teaching about the coming day when hospitals will no longer be needed, Jesus said, "I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to me." Then those sheep are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you?" Then the king will say, "I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me." That's Matthew 25, verses 35 to 40 in the Message. I'm realizing that today it won't take too much to make someone's day. So come on, you can do it. Be an angel. My third New Year's resolution is that I would like to become part of the welcoming culture in the church that I am a part of, welcoming people. My experience in UK shops recently has been rather underwhelming. Attempting to buy some new shoes, I tried in vain to gain the attention of two sales assistants who were loudly discussing their ability to imbibe huge quantities of alcohol on Friday nights, while undeniably impressed by their camel-like capacity to consume and store liquid. At last, my rather frantic waving caused them to pause. "Are you all right there?" quipped one of them, a greeting that is apparently standard practice in British shops these days. I wasn't really sure how to respond to this inquiry about whether I was all right. It's good of them to ask if I'm okay. Should I share a few recent minor health challenges in response? I replied that I was doing very well, thank you, but the sales assistant was already back to his chat about Fridays and booze. I fled. How remarkably different was my retail experience just this week in a shop that is no high-end fashion house, but rather an ironmongery supply store located on an industrial estate. Here one can buy every conceivable nut, bolt, handle, lock or hook. Waiting in the queue to be served, I was amazed that the affable chap behind the counter seemed to know the exact location of every item in the place. There must have been tens of thousands of items. Suddenly, a man who looked like the owner of the shop appeared. "Are you still here?" he smiled. "I'm so sorry for the wait. We'll be with you soon. Can I offer you a cup of tea or coffee in the meantime?" A shroud of confusion settled over my mind. Had I just been offered tea? Coffee? Had I stumbled into a time travel portal and landed in a past era that enjoyed kinder, more personal service? I politely and gratefully declined the offer of refreshment. The episode ended with me being given a discount on my purchase, even though I didn't ask for one. And so why do I share this? It's not, as some might suspect, an encouragement to churches everywhere to serve hot drinks on Sundays. Many already do that, though sadly, sometimes the coffee offered has apparently been grounded by Satan himself, it being so unpalatable. Rather, it's the power of welcome that I'd like to highlight and participate in. A warm welcome is wonderful and in business can be profitable. In America, a major fast food chain has consistently outsold all of their competitors for decades, despite only being open 6 days weekly. They close on Sundays to allow their staff time for family, worship, and rest. Whenever I've mentioned the brand, people tell me that they love it, but nobody ever talks about the food, even though it's great. The positive comments are always focused on the welcoming culture that's been created by that company. Jesus spent much of his time eating meals with the wrong crowd, much to the disdain of the religious barons who dogged his steps. But the New Testament revealed that not only did Jesus share tables with people, but he welcomed them. Luke 15:1 talks about that. Remarkably, the profoundly unholy felt seen and received by the holiest of them all. I've shared before on this program about the marvelous welcome that I received the night I braved the church service and decided to follow Jesus. People literally lined up to shake my hand and give me a Christian hug, three pats on the shoulder, hug to the left. I can't remember a single word of the sermon that was preached during that service, but I'll never forget the kindness, the warmth, the welcome I was shown. I felt like I was home. So, here's my commitment. When I'm in church and I discover that a visitor has summoned up the courage to darken the doors of the place, I don't want to bomb them with suffocating love because that might nudge them to run for cover. But I want to simply be part of a culture that makes them feel welcome. For that to happen, we need more than a grinning gaggle of ushers and greeters. A welcoming culture as well as a welcome rota is required. But it's a choice that we can all embrace, and it won't have an impact on the budget. Unless, of course, we improve on that demonic coffee. Let's be people who participate in welcome. As we go into 2026, let's be angels. Enjoy the ordinary days and welcome people. And that's not just about trying harder, but asking the Lord to empower us, to work in us, to work through us. See you next week.
Lucas on Life.
When you're juggling everyday life, carrying your faith isn't always easy. Introducing Journa, Premier's new devotional journaling app, created in partnership with World Vision. Each day, Journa gives you a Bible verse, a short reflection, a question to sit with, a written prayer, and space for your thoughts, all in one place, wherever you go. Find Journa in your App Store today, available on iOS and Android. Journa, an app to help you stay connected.